Yes, we're a congregational choir. I love it. Okay, so our scripture this morning comes from the letter to Timothy, the second letter to Timothy, the first chapter, verses 1 through 14. This letter to Timothy is seen as a letter in which Paul is passing on his role as leader and evangelist of the Christian faith to his devoted student Timothy. In this letter, the author, who has mentored Timothy in his faith, spends time instructing Timothy a little bit more about his faith and his hopes for the future. Some commentators describe this letter as Paul's farewell message to his fellow Christian believers. Hear these words from our scripture this morning. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, to promote the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I serve with good conscience as my ancestors did. I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night. When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I can be filled with happiness. I am reminded of your authentic faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I'm sure that this faith is also inside you. Because of this, I'm reminding you to revive God's gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share the suffering for the good news, depending on God's power. God is the one who saved and called us with a holy calling. This was not based on what we have done, but it was based on his own purpose and grace that he gave us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now his grace is revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He destroyed death and brought life and immortality into clear focus through the good news. I was appointed a messenger, apostle, and teacher of this good news. This is also why I'm suffering the way I do, but I am not ashamed. I know the one in whom I've placed my trust. I'm convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what he has placed in my trust until that day. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Protect this good thing that has been placed in your trust through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this letter begins written from Paul to Timothy in the way that most letters that we have in our New Testament begin, with a simple greeting and a remembrance of their time together that they shared. And then Paul goes on to share with Timothy wonderful memories that he has of Timothy as a child, of Timothy's family, and the way that they nurtured him. And then it goes on to where Paul reminds Timothy to hold on to his faith, because being a faithful Christian was difficult at that time. So he tells Timothy, hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Protect this good thing. In other words, protect this faith that has been placed in your trust through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Paul is writing to Timothy because he wants to help Timothy focus on his faith. He wants to help Timothy learn how to lean on his faith, how to live his faith so actively in his life that it is clear what his faith is just by observing him. Paul wants Timothy to embody his faith in a way that he is living out the teachings about Jesus in all that he says and does. As much of Paul's writing is this this seems kind of like an abstract idea. It's hard to know exactly how Paul wanted Timothy to do this. So here is a story that I found that helps to illustrate what Paul meant. Carl Jacobson is a Lutheran pastor and theologian, and he shared this story from his own personal life as an example. Jacobson was studying abroad in China during his junior year in college, which happened to be in about the time of 1990-91, when Iraq invaded Kuwait and the U.S. was beginning to engage in the operation we know as Desert Storm. So Jacobson was living in Shanghai with other international students in a dorm, and as you can imagine, it was a little tense being an American abroad. He, in addition to Jacobson, there was his Canadian roommate, two other Americans, a couple of Australians, one Italian, 10 or 12 Japanese students, and then over 50 students who were from Africa and the Arabian Peninsula. So the Western students who were there, as well as the Japanese, were in China to study the Chinese language more in depth, to learn about Chinese literature and history. And that was all at the university or college level. The African or Arabian students were in China because of arrangements that had been made on a governmental level to study math and science and English. And to Jacobson's knowledge, none of them studied the Chinese language formally, which left many of those students isolated from the other international students because they knew no Chinese. Now, due to the troubles in the Middle East, this atmosphere was pretty tense among the students. No one really knew what was going to happen. And that's where Jacobson's story begins. Shortly after New Year's, Jacobson's Canadian roommate was on a trip to Beijing, and he was alone in his dorm room studying late at night for an exam when he heard a knock on his door. And when he opened the door, it happened to be one of the Muslim students who was there to study math, and this Muslim student happened to be from Yemen. So the young man from Yemen stood there in his formal attire, which included his jambaya. Which a jambaya is a ceremonial dagger, but it's a real dagger. It's very functional. It has a broad curved blade. It's about 6 inches long, and it's worn by all Yemeni men of age. It is a part of their daily clothing. So there he stood, this young man from Yemeni with his knife and all, and Jacobson didn't exactly know what to do. So he thought about it for a minute. It felt very tense, and Jacobson invited him into his dorm room. So the young man entered and promptly did two things. He closed the door quickly behind him and then reached up onto the wall and pulled the wire that was on the two-way speaker above the door. Now remember, this is 1990, 91. We didn't have a lot of cell phones at that time. And that two-way speaker was the only way to communicate with someone else in the dorm. It actually went down to the front desk. And it was usually manned by two old Chinese Communist Party members. It was used both to contact the students for any reason and also to listen in on them. So every now and then, the students would hear a pop through the speaker system and know that they were being listened to. So with the wire pulled out of the box, there was no communication one way or the other, and there was no telephone in the room. So Jacobson didn't know what to do at that moment. His fear level went up. So then he decided to just simply ask his Yemeni classmate about the visit. Why are you here? How can I help? So his classmate began saying, telling Jacobson about his family, his wife, and four sons who were still back in Yemen. He told Jacobson that he had been separated from them for more than 3 years as he pursued his degree in mathematics at the university in Shanghai, and that he dearly missed his family, and he had been trying for the better part of 2 years to get the university to allow them to come to China and live with him, with no success. He had come to Jacobson hoping that Jacobson would write a letter to the president of the university, but not to write it in English, to write the letter in Chinese, because a letter in Chinese would be, he said, more respectful and more likely to succeed. Remember, the student from Yemen knew no Chinese, and Jacobson was there to study the language. So that's what Jacobson did. They then spent the next couple of hours working over a letter in Chinese, asking that the young man's family be allowed to come and join him. He gave Jacobson his words, and Jacobson did his best to write them in Chinese. When they had finished, Jacobson gave him the letter and then asked him one more question. Why did you come to me? There are others here whose Chinese is much better than mine, who have been here longer and who would do a better job. Why me? And the young man said, I come to you because I know that you are a Christian, and I knew a Christian would help me. That is the kind of Christian that we are called to be. The point of our story today is not that Jacobson helped the young man simply out of concern. The point is that this young man came to Jacobson because he knew that he would receive the help he needed. And he knew he would receive this help simply because he knew Jacobson was a man of faith. And not just any faith, but Christian faith. He knew that Jacobson would help him because he cared. So when we think about this story in light of our scripture lesson today of living out our faith, we know that this is the kind of Christian that we are called to be. The point is that the testimony of Jesus, embodied however feebly it is in us, is filled with potential. The potential to be sure of unsafety and suffering, but also the potential for faith and love to break forth from us. Jacobson embodied and lived out his faith in such a way that his classmate trusted him to help him with such a sensitive task. Paul wanted Timothy to live out this kind of faith in his life. Paul reminds Timothy that he already has that kind of faith because it has been passed down to him through his grandmother and his mother. Timothy is called to recognize that faith in himself and then carry it forth to others in the world. What does it mean for us to live our faith in such a way that others see it within us without us even having to profess verbally that we are Christians? How do we do that? It begins when we nourish our own faith. Do we read scripture? Do we pray daily? Do we study the Bible, attend worship regularly? Are we kind, compassionate? Do we live life out of a sense of gratitude, looking for ways to give rather than to receive? Living out our faith looks differently for each of us because we all live radically different lives. However, the love of Christ is the same, and it lives in each of us. We have to examine our own lives to see how we can make that love manifest to the world. One example comes from a school teacher in Kentucky when he learned one of his students would miss a field trip because the field trip was not wheelchair accessible. The teacher volunteered to use the child's special backpack carrier to carry her on his back all day. That is dedication. That is love. The family was overjoyed to learn that the child would not miss the trip, and he was happy to help. He didn't ask for recognition. He simply wanted to help a student be a part of her school. Bill and Ellen belong to a church in Pennsylvania, and whenever there is a disaster in the United States, they are ready to pack up a suitcase or two, grab their work gloves and tools, and head off to the site to help in recovery efforts. As a retired couple, they believe their faith calls them to be ready to be in action to help others when they are most vulnerable and in need of a helping hand. They simply live their lives as faith in action. Paul wanted Timothy to live his life in the same way, to live his life so his faith was transparent, so others recognized that he was a follower of Christ simply by how he lived. We too are called to live that same kind of faith life. We too are called to live in a way that enables others to know that we live by faith and are ready to share that faith with them. By living such a faith-filled life, we too can help others come to know the love of God. So this morning we are invited to profess our faith. If you would like to come forward and make your confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing our hymn of commitment. Or if you would like to come forward and reaffirm your faith that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, you can come as we stand and sing hymn number 452, Here I Am, Lord.